having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an embassy. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to bear on the earth.
All right, Matthew 16th chapter, the 16th verse. We're reading 16 to 19. The Triumphant Church, part 1C. Amen. Hallelujah. The Triumphant Church, part 1C. All right, so it's a new series, and this is where we're starting from. These are anchor scripture. If you followed first and second service online, on ground, I mean, you've had an amazing time talking about the church, hallelujah, and the destiny of the church. Now, today's focus is the DNA of the church, right? The DNA of the church. DNA, don't be alarmed by the word DNA. I wonder, pastor is taking me to chemistry class. God Almighty, I thought I've escaped it. Amen. Okay, we're just talking about the molecular structure that is responsible for hereditary characteristics. Amen. Okay. I'm trying to explain. I think I wrote something down. Let me see. Yes. Okay. Hey, should I say this one? DNA. The genetic repository. Can't say that. You can go and find it out. Okay. Okay, we say it's the genetic repository that is usually responsible, or is usually the molecular basis of heredity. You understand? That means it's the invisible stuff responsible for the visible features and characteristics you see in a living thing. I think that makes more sense. The invisible stuff, okay, that is responsible for the visible characteristics, okay, and features of a living thing you can see. That means your nose is pointed because there is a genetic repository responsible for that pointed nose. Amen. Hallelujah. Your ears are the way they are, whether big or small. It depends on your assessment. Amen. Based on the genetic repository responsible for the transference of that hereditary feature. Have it together. Your height, we're told. The color of your eyes. There are those who have brown eyes. There are those who have blue eyes. Amen. I've always wondered why they say blue eye was so beautiful. Amen. Okay, now those who have blonde hair, black hair, okay, and those things were transferred to them through that invisible substance or invisible molecular stuff called the DNA. Are we together? But just using conversation, when we say the DNA of the church, we are referring to the invisible programming, okay, or the invisible deposits that is responsible for the features that the church should manifest. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Because the church is triumphant. The church is triumphant because the DNA is that of victory. The church is triumphant because we've been programmed from that molecular level, so to say. Spiritually speaking now, just permit me, amen. It's Google age, okay? If you don't understand, you can write it down. Just Google it, amen. I said amen. Have I lost you? Are you still here? All right. So that's what the DNA is. So we're talking about the DNA of the church as a subtopic under the triumphant church. Matthew chapter 16. Have you ready now? All right. Now, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Son, blessed thou bar Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So Simon just got a revelation, amen. He just got illuminated. He just got to understand who he was dealing with. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are not Moses. You are not Elijah. You are not John the Baptist. You are not Jeremiah. You are the Christ," meaning the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that was a revelation. And Jesus commended him. He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And he announced it on account of this revelation, on the foundation of this revelation of the Christos. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus introduced his church, and Jesus introduced the building of his church. A church is simply the assembly of a called out one. So there are many churches, but Jesus has his church. Have it together. In fact, the concept of the church came from the Greco-Roman civilization. That's as far back as I can remember. Okay, where they have the assembly that represented the people. Have it together. The assembly of senators, the assembly of legislators, who were a representation of the people. But in Zion, it says, "You are come unto Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God." It says, "You have come unto the church of the firstborn, the general assembly." That means in this kingdom, we are all the called out ones. Amen. And everyone is representing himself. Amen. Glory to God. You are your constituency, and you represent your constituency. Hallelujah. So that is what the church means. The idea of a church is an assemblage of the called out ones for the purpose of legislation, for a common cause. That's what the church is. So Jesus introduces his church, and in that introduction is a revelation of the character of the church. In that introduction is a revelation of the ministry of the church. In that introduction is a revelation of the DNA of the church, so to say. What the church stands for, what the church should do, who the church is. The first thing we see that he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That shows us that the church, of course, primarily is built on the revelation of God's word. But obviously that the church is an advancing force. The church is a body on a mission. Have it together. The church is a body on a mission. The church is not an assemblage of God's of worshippers who come every Sunday and worship God and then go back on Monday to Saturday doing other things and then return on Sunday to worship God, waiting to be raptured. That is not the picture of the church. The church is a body with a mission, an advancing force. All right. Why would he say the gates of hell shall not prevail if the church is not advancing? That shows that it intends that the church should be a body that is advancing with a mission. That's the first thing. Then verse 19 says, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom." The keys of the kingdom. Keys talk about authority. Keys talk about power. Keys talk about dominion, so to say. Government, so to say. "I'll give unto you," that's the church now, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." What authority? He gives us authority over the earth. And that authority over the earth has impact in heaven. That's what he's saying. That means you bind something on earth, earth, heaven will authorize it. Oh, did you get that? You bind something on earth, heaven will legitimize it. You lose something on earth, heaven will authorize it and legitimize it. Have it together. And cause a change on the earth. That means we actually can bind and loose. That means we can authorize. And what's the opposite of authorize? Custom war. That's what I'm looking for. Contraband. Glory to God. And stop. we can call into existence things on the earth, and heaven will authorize it. Why? The church has authority on the earth. And that is the second revelation we see in Jesus introducing the church. That the church is not a religious body. The church is a governmental entity. That's what the church is. The church is political. But we're not talking about PDP and APC. Hallelujah. You see, you interpret every word that is used from a background of your experience and prior knowledge. True of us. So when we say the church is political, that's why I prefer to use the word governmental. Because when you say the church is political, your mind is going to the dirtiness of the politics in Nigeria that you were told. Say, what? The church is political? That's dirty. No. The word political is not the bad word. It's just the context and the background that suggest dirtiness and something that falsehood. You know, many things come to your mind when you think about politics. Falsehood, lies. Why? Experiences. You saw somebody campaigning. Hey, I will water my people, I will fire my people. Amen. That means I'll give you water and electricity. Politicians actually say that. Amen. I will water my people, I'll fire my people. In the 90s, amen. I almost called the village. He called the name of Jesus. He said, the root of this place shall be cemented. Amen. Meaning he'll tear the root. Glory to God. Now you watch a person give false promises, false hope. He spent 4 years there and nothing happened. In your mind, subconsciously, tie this politician. So when we say the church is political, that's what comes to your mind. Praise God. But politics talks about power. That's what I wanted to look at. Politics talks about government. A body that has authority to bring in and take out. A body that has authority to legislate. That's who the church is. And gradually, the mind shift is happening. Oh, gradually, it's happening. And we are grateful to the Lord for it. And part of the objectives of this teaching is to show you and to stir you up to live your full potential as the church in this end time. Very important. Hallelujah. You bind on earth and it is bound in heaven. You lose on earth and it is loose in heaven. So the church is God's extension on the earth. You can write that down. That's the third thing I said. The church is God's extension on the earth. That means we are God's eyes. We are God's hands. Without us, God does not have hands on the earth. Oh God. We are God's legs. Without us, he cannot go places. Without us, he cannot touch people. Oh God. Without us, he doesn't have eyes on the earth. We are his hands, his eyes, his ears, his legs today. Where we go, God goes. God can only extend his goodness on the earth through his church. This is the confusion of many Christians. If God is a loving father, why are things not changing? Why are people sleeping under the bridge? If you're a Christian and you're talking about that, you're abdicating your authority. You're abdicating your responsibility. You are God's legs. You are God's hands. You are his extension on the earth. Why do you think the Lord left you on the earth after you got born again? I mean, that day you were so excited, having the fury of the new birth. You were joyous, you know, your times just feel high. And the Holy Ghost, let's assume the night you just got born again. Oh my God, oh Jesus, I love you. And then, if heaven was the focus, Jesus would have just taken you. Don't you think so? Somebody say, no, he left me on the earth so that as I do my good works, he can be building a mansion in heaven. You're wrongly thought. You're told that when you do something, they just bought the cement in heaven. He said, so this guy died, they stopped our roof level, they did not plaster. See, the mansion is every so completed building. What kind of revelation is that? Juvenile revelation, amen. Juvenile. Hallelujah. He said, in my father's house, there are many mansions. There are many homes. I go to prepare a place for you. He's not talking about constructing. There's no construction going on in heaven. Amen. He's talking about a place in him. he pleased in Christ. That place talks about your what gives you the legal right to that mansion. Do you understand? Because that mansion is for those who have a place in him. I go to prepare a place for you. Glory to God. So that where I am, you may be also. And he has prepared a place for us. In his body, in the tearing, in the sacrifice of himself, in the pouring out of his blood, and the breaking of his body, he made a place for us. Hallelujah. We have a place already. So you are not left on the earth so that the material for your construction can be complete as you do good works on the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. He left you to represent him. He left you because he doesn't have any other way. Why do you think on the day of Pentecost the Holy Ghost came? When he came, what did he do? He possessed the church. That means the Holy Spirit has no other body apart from the body of Christ. The physical body of Jesus was limited only to Jerusalem, only to that old Palestinian street. He walked upon Galilee, Capernaum, Jerusalem, Nazareth. There was a limitation of his body. But God had a deeper wisdom. Hallelujah. He was going to raise a body for him. So he went up, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. And now he rules to his body. That's what he does now. That is why you're left on the earth. You see, when you understand this message, Christianity will no longer be boring. The reason for many years why Christianity was boring and hopeless and directionless for many people is because they were told that the only thing, they have in Christianity is salvation. That means you are saved, trying to go to heaven. And they have a God who answers their prayers. And God was just a means to an end. And when the prayers were answered, there was no longer need. So what am I doing now? Come to church on Sunday to appease my conscience, to make pastor happy, give my tithe, give my offering, support charity work, and life continues. That is not the idea of Christianity. That is not the idea of the kingdom life. That is not the idea. You are a person on the mission. That means in God's mind, you are to carry church from Monday to Saturday. In fact, I had a teaching I'm supposed to teach. Church begins on Monday. Amen. You understand that? Church begins on Monday. So you're a lecturer in that university. That is church. Church just started. Amen. After this one, I said church starts on Monday morning. Praise God. So there is no separation between the kingdom life and the work that you do. There ought not to be separation. Whoever separated it came from the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand? To render us ineffective. And scriptures allude to that. Now, what we call the Great Commission, read this way in the margin. He says, preach the gospel as you go about your daily business. Did you get that? Preach the gospel as you go about your daily business. That's what he says. Let's read Isaiah 2. Let me show you something from there. Then fly. Hi. He says, this is the word of the Lord that Isaiah the son of Amos saw. In the last day saith God, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. So he gives us a prophetic picture of the dominion of the church. The mountain of the Lord's house established on top of the mountains, not taller than all the other mountains. Established on top of the mountains. You go to the different mountains, and the mountains talks about the different spheres of human endeavor: education, politics, business, media, art, entertainment. Have it together. He said the mountains of the Lord's house is to be established on top. So as a Christian in education, you are not there to get salary. Education is a ministry. One ministry, opportunity to exalt the mountain of the Lord's house above the mountain of education. That's what he's talking about. That's the picture of the church. That's what Jesus was talking about. He says, when this happens, evangelism will be easy. All nations shall flow into the house. Can you see? All nations shall flow into the house. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations as a witness. Then shall the end come. Meaning this gospel shall be preached to all ethnos with proofs. Then shall the end come. Nation talks about ethnos. It's the same thing with the mountain I'm talking about. There are micronations and macronations. You lecture University of Jos, that's a nation. That's what he's saying. You are an actress, you are a movie maker, that is a nation. You have to be determined that your ministry is to take over the mountain. So the concept of the triumphant church is not in the defensive way. It's in the offensive way. Are you getting it now? So we are not waiting to be attacked. So this office, the occultic people here, if you are not careful, no. And then you are bringing prayer point for pastor. Pray for me so that, no. You should be developed to a point where you can stand as one man and smite the Midianite as one man, just like Gideon. He said, for you shall smite the Midianite as one man. Of course, it didn't mean he didn't need people. He walked with 300 people, right? That means you go into politics with this thinking and say, with me, we'll rewrite the narrative of this fair. You go into education, you say, with me, God will rewrite the story of this mountain. You go into art and entertainment and say, with me, God will write. Now, this thing is no joke. This is something very serious. You can't carry nice Christianity to do this. There has to be a ruggedity, a ruggedness, a wildness. Do you understand? There has to be a radical approach. Because people have heard things like this and jumped out without understanding the gravity of it. Remember, this picture I'm painting is akin to the possession of the promised land by the children of Israel. God divided an inheritance to them that had giants inside. In the same way, your portion in that mountain has giants inside. Are you aware? Let's take politics for example. You want to do something different. In the current context, you think there are no giants? You think there are no giants? You think there are no giants? I heard a story of a nice Christian who came from London, wanted to be a governor of the state. True life story. Nice. That's his vision, that's his proposal. Shakapayas. He does not understand. Now, it's not because the people on the other side are more powerful. It's about our understanding and engaging what we have. Being nice is not enough. Forget. When you open it, just you seven virgins on demonic altars. I had somebody came and met him and said, we know you don't do all these things, but give us permission. I'll do it for you. We just need nine virgins. Give us permission. We'll do it for you. No, that's what they said. This thing you are doing is like, you don't look like you are interested. Shabakataya. So, you want to go to that mountain doing pele pele Christianity. I'm saying, why did I say that? I'm saying the Lord is good. You know, this is what I want to do. Write this story. You must know the way of blood. You must know the way of power. You must know the way of priesthood. Do you understand? You must understand these things I'm saying. This prophetic and apostolic DNA of the church. And it's not just politics, so in every sphere, except you want to be a slave that others rule over in that industry. If you want to rise to legislate on behalf of the government of heaven, to establish the values of the kingdom, they will come for you. When we say they will come for you, it shouldn't make you afraid. You are well able. You just need to know. You are well able. You are well able. If you don't know what to do, go and listen to Kingdom Power Systems. Have it together. Because this is how the impact of the church will be multiplied. Just sitting and thinking only your ministry is only in the church, it won't work. The church is governmental, and the vision of God is for us to be His intrusion into the systems. We are God's intrusion into the systems. You know why this is important? Once you think like that, your approach to what you do has changed. You will see it as a ministry. It's not just for the money. Yes, the money is important, but the vehicle, like the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, is it join this chariot? You remember? Join this chariot in Acts chapter 8. Question: was the focus of the Spirit the chariot or the Ethiopian eunuch? The Ethiopian eunuch. So your job, your sphere, your space is the chariot, but the focus is the people that the chariot is carrying. Did you get that? That's your focus. That's your focus. He says, join this chariot. The focus of the Ethiopian eunuch. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Of course, you know the end of the story of trying to be governor. It does not work. After some time, he said, Kai, what other office can he try? Lower office. And in Nigeria, even counselorship. If you don't know the way of blood, you are not going anywhere. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The triumphant church. Philippians 3:20, Amplified Translation. The triumphant church. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody is rising with power. Somebody is rising with new authority. Somebody is being provoked as I teach in the name of Jesus. And from this message, thoughts are coming to you. Thoughts that will change your life forever. Instructions that will change your lives forever. They are coming to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, but our citizenship. Sorry, I'm reading King James from my head. He said, but we are citizens of the state, the commonwealth, the homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior. Our citizenship is in heaven. Give me New King James. Sorry. What I'm looking for is a New King James. But this is important too. Is it commonwealth and homeland? Where's your homeland? Heaven. Heaven. Why are you on earth then? Extension. All right. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Now, when you read in your original text, what he reads is, we are extensions of heaven. That's what he said. That is the communication there. We are extensions of heaven. The Greek word is polythiomas. Polythiomas. Polythiomas are envoys who come from a mother kingdom into a colony. And what they do, you know, in those days when they conquer places, that's what they call conquering troops and occupational troops. Amen. Why would you have a city called Alexandria in Egypt? Egypt is not a Greek nation or a Roman nation. What happened? The Greeks came, colonized the place, and brought the culture of Greek to that place. Are you seeing it now? Why am I wearing suit in Jos on Sunday afternoon? Because the British came and colonized Nigeria and introduced their culture. Praise God. They introduced their culture. You'll be sipping hot tea and coffee in the afternoon. You're a victim of a culture of another kingdom. Are you getting it now? It's called culture. Is it acculturation now? So when the occupational troop comes, what they do is to establish the culture of the mother kingdom. Hear me. This is what the church is on earth to do. Until it is institutionalized You go into a sector and you so influence it until you establish the culture of the heavenly kingdom. That's what the church is on earth. We are the occupational troops. Glory to God forevermore. We are. So that's your business, that's your career, that vision. There must be kingdom inside. Oh yes, there must be kingdom. It's bigger than putting body and soul together. It's about what the Lord wants to accomplish. Why? We are the church. Hallelujah. We are the church. So the prophetic DNA of the church means that we were spoken forth. We are children of prophecy. I began to talk about that in the second service. We are children of prophecy. The word of God brought us forth. We are not saying these things by ourselves. Words have gone ahead. Oh, glory to God. We were spoken forth by the word of promise. You were brought forth by the vision that God saw. You are not a child of chance. Even though you were told you were born out of wedlock, you are not born out of godlock. Amen. Glory to God. Are you here? Your parents may have said they didn't plan for you. God planned for you. They were having fun, but God was looking for an opportunity to introduce someone like you to the earth. And that's what happened. Are we together? So we are a people of prophecy. The word of promise brought us forth. We are children of the word. Of the word, just like Isaac. And this is why the church is indestructible. I talked about that in the second service. Why the word of God doesn't die. God spoke of you before you showed up. In Genesis 17, 2-7, God was talking to Abraham. You can put it up. When he was speaking those words, he saw your face. He saw your face. Oh yes, he saw your face. He prepared a path before we showed up. Are we together? Now, why is this important? It should give us confidence. If we are people of prophecy, that means we run on the earth through prophecy. Do you understand? We live on the earth through prophecy. We are walking in path that he prepared before we came. When we talk about the triumphant church, we didn't make it up. The path was prepared before we came. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That world was there before you were born. What you did was to enter into that world. And there's something about locating yourself in the world. There's something about it. You must see your face. I've told you, the Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is an album of a royal family with the picture of the father and his kids. Every time you look into your world, you should be able to see your face. The picture must be clear, because life becomes exponential the moment you can see yourself in scriptures. And all through the Bible, we see men who saw themselves in scriptures and suddenly things were flipped. Their results were multiplied. You must see yourself in scriptures. The church is prophetic. I'm talking about you. The church is prophetic. You were spoken of before you came. There's a path, a prophetic path prepared before you came. This should take this idea of confusion, this idea of trying to discover purpose and struggling with it out of the way. God had a plan for you before you showed up. And as you begin to fellowship, talk with him in prayer, in worship, in his word, your eyes will be open. In fact, your steps will be ordered. Because most times, fulfilling destiny is about I being in the way the Lord led me. God doesn't want you to be idle waiting to find purpose. There's nothing like that. You will do the basic things. Are you praying and fasting? Are you serving in the local church? Are you adding value? I have been in the way the Lord led. You enter into the fullness of the destiny as you do the basic things. Are we together? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Amplified translation. Very quickly. We are a people of prophecy. Glory to God. This is why we cannot fail. This is why we cannot be defeated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. That means we're not mass produced. Kai. Oh, who does handwork here? Maybe you sculpt, you do sculpting, or you draw. Anybody? You draw, you make baskets, you make something, you make clothes by yourself with hand. Let me see your hand now. Okay, thank you. You like you is being that no two things that you do is exactly alike. Except it's a machine who did it. That is the concept of handiwork. This is why no two fingerprints are alike. If you use a machine, there is standardization. You can program it to produce the same thing. But with our creation is not the same. He said we are God's handiwork. We are his carefully crafted handiwork. You can see it there. We are his handiwork, carefully crafted. Not mass produced. That means either of a model or a case, a canvas that God used to produce you. After you were produced, he burnt it. You are unique. What God has designed for you to bring to the table on the earth, no other person can do it. Even when they are doing it, they can't do it in the way that you can do it. And God's joy is in that uniqueness. This is why you must not try to be like anyone else. You can learn from people. People can mentor you. You can receive impartation from people and talk and do things like them in a way. But you see here, when we break it up, the way you go about it is different. Have it together. Carefully crafted handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God preordained that we should walk in. Put it up for me so I don't miss a word. Ooh. It said recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Oh, hallelujah. That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking part which he prepared ahead of time. We are a people of prophecy. That we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to walk in. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The good life. He prepared a path before we should for. He spoke for things. So your job is to speak for those words. Those words that he spoke concerning us is the genetic repository for our manifestation of God on the earth. That's what I'm saying. In Psalm, you can put it up, Psalm 87, verse 1 to 3. Put it up. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Psalm 87. It says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loved the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Verse 2 now, I've left you. More than all the dwellings of Jacob. Verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Glorious things are spoken of you. Oh my goodness. He's talking about Zion. Zion is the prophetic picture of the church. You remember Hebrews chapter 12? You have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, general assembly, the church of the firstborn. This is Zion. This is Zion. Talapokaya. This is Zion. You are Zion. I am Zion. Our gathering together like this is Zion. The church is Zion. And guess what God is saying about Zion? Glorious things are spoken of you. Oh, city of God. When was the last time you stood before the mirror and said, glorious things are spoken of me. Glorious things are spoken of me. Before I came, for God spoke words. And those words cannot fail. Is somebody here at this third service? Before I showed up, words went ahead of me. They are glorious things. I can't fail. I cannot be defeated. No, I cannot sink in life. It's not possible. Glorious things are spoken of me. O city of God, the hand of the Lord is upon me. That's glorious thing. Hallelujah. Wealth and riches are in my house. Oh, and my righteousness endures forever. That is glorious thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Himself took away my sicknesses. He bore my pains. Glorious things are spoken of me. Oh, city of God. Glorious things are spoken of me. No matter what you think about the church, glorious things are spoken of the church. Glorious things. There are those who are angry with the church. The church is imperfect. Is it your business? She's somebody's wife, amen. And the husband is perfecting her. He says, washing her by the regeneration of the word. Washing her by the washing of water. By the word. By the word. By the word. Glorious things are spoken of you. Oh, city of God. So our makeup is the word. Do you understand? That is what the Bible calls us, living epistles. Seeing and read of all men. That's who you are. Experiences doesn't define us. The world does. The past is not the definition of you. The word of God does. The measure of your true value is what God says. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. O city of God. Glorious things. Aya, glorious things are spoken of you. Sickness is not spoken of you. Disease is not spoken of you. Are you here? It's not fear. Faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak in tongues where you are. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. What are the glorious things you've seen in scriptures? Speak them. We are victorious. Overcomers in this world. Overcomers in this world. Overcomers in this world. Can you rise to your feet? Aya. Glorious things are spoken of me. Yela bagarabasomani. Yela barobagosemani. Glory, 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 glory to God. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. Lepetoski le brenda sista pora di lekepa. Erifasome tani basusta pora di lekepa. Enkepoda sista pora bakasema tilakoska. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Nothing in life should put you down. What we have is tight. Are you listening to me? We have a high priest. We have an altar. We have a sacrifice. Don't let anything put you down. You are the church of the living God. He purchased us with his blood. That's what the scripture says. We are purchased by his blood. By his own blood. We are blood bought. Nothing should put you down. And concerning this nation, we have authority to speak. We will keep speaking. Listen, in your closet, speak. Take a fast. Speak. Speak. Stand in your authority. Knowing that, look, when you speak, the earth responds. Speak and speak boldly. Concerning your household, speak. Concerning your family, speak. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. We are prophetic people. It means we chart our course on the earth through these words of prophecy. That's what it means. Oh, we chart. I've told you before, I talk for a living. And that is not the preaching, no. The talking before the preaching. Speak. Speak with power. What you don't like, cancel it. Just cancel it. What you like, approve it. According to the scriptures, you are like a custom officer for your life. The things you don't want, contraband. The things you want, permits. That's what Romans chapter 12 verse 2 is saying. It said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what he's saying. We are prophetic by nature. We are. We'll get into that next week Sunday. We'll get more into that. You know, usually the first Sunday of every series is introduction. We'll get into that. We are prophetic people. Our DNA is prophetic. We are prophetic. We float on this world. And we let the word of God fly us on eagle's wings. Be conscious of it. The reason why people, Christians, don't make significant progress is because they are not deliberate about doing this thing. It's once in a while, maybe pastor speak over you, or once in a while when you're taking confession in church, I am blessed. No. Do it intentionally. Your mouth was given to you not to eat coke and meat pie. Your mouth was given to you to chart your course. That means even after I have prayed in tongues, which is important, speak words. Release words into the atmosphere. It's part of the equation of manifesting God's intent in our lives on the earth. You have to speak words. Speak them. Speak words with power. Speak words with authority. We are the church. The word brought us forth. And we operate by speaking those words. Lift your hands toward heaven and give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Kalabako Soshoto. Marianne Soshtapura de la Kapaya. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.